Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and I am super excited. I've done thousands of interviews, as everybody knows, but I will tell you, and I haven't said this in public or recorded, the guest today, my friend Martha Montoya, is my favorite entrepreneur I've met of all time. She's the founder of Ag Tools, but she is the epitome of an entrepreneur. She has a backbone like steel. She has a desire that she must be what she can be. And she has faced every obstacle with positivity and gratitude, which is why she has had the success that she's had, which you will learn her playbook today. With me, I'm honored to have Martha Montoya. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for the invitation, Dave. I'm humble for your words. Thank you.
I am humbled to have you as my guest, from Cameron Diaz to Deepak Chopra to all the amazing athletes. I am most excited to have you because when you were the star of Go Fund Yourself, one of my TV shows that is on Cheddar today, I didn't believe the story. It just kept coming. And what was so remarkable about your story and what you're building wasn't what you're building. It was how quickly you assimilated with the information to create the opportunities when everybody around you probably was saying, there's no way that you'll ever be able to do this. And today, the future is so bright for Ag Tools. What was it that you were born into or born with that created this extraordinary belief when I'm sure people laughed at you, scoffed at you, and made fun of you, who now applaud you?
I would say the first one, I would say my grandmother's entrepreneurship. I grew up in that environment, so always positive. That the positivism come from there. Then play tennis. And in tennis, you have no choice but to keep winning, or if you lose, you have to get back in there, the court. So I play heavily tennis across the Americas. And when we launched this, it was at the beginning of 2020, the COVID. So nobody even laughed. They didn't have time to laugh because they had no time. We were feeding the world. Farms were feeding the world. And so that was not. After that, it's been the reason people kind of laugh, it was because we have the solutions already done. Mm. But nobody understood that this was not CPG. This was not like a box or a car. This is living elements that you have to manage in a whole different world. So now it seems interesting to see people call just for, I'm an analyst for a banker. I need this data. I am a farmer for that. I need this data. And it's that depth of thinking that it's now not making. This morning when we got a call from an analyst, I'm like, I know that you just build them and they will come.
Yes, you are the field of dreams, literally and figuratively speaking. And Kevin Costner has nothing on you, as I'm a huge sports fan, as you know. It's a great analogy. The vision, you know, things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And one of the skill sets that I am admiring of you is one that I know is a guaranteed skill of success that I invest in multiple entrepreneurs, which is you're an incredible salesperson. You can articulate value to exceed what you're asking for. You have such great confidence and comfortability in the way that you communicate. How essential do you believe your salespersonship has been in the success that you've had?
Oh, 100%. But it has to be that I built it up. Anybody who could see me in Colombia or will see me from Colombia, where I'm from, they say, Marta, but she never spoke a word. She never said anything. She never spoke. Everybody pushed me to say something. But when I landed in the United States, the land of opportunities, you could say anything. Because remember, in our countries, we're more limited for many reasons, traditions, government. Status, government. So you're kind of careful. And when you come here, you can say anything. So that
just ask Howard Stern. He says whatever he wants,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. But I say the second one, I learned it from one gentleman, Mr. Charles Schulz, Snoopy creator.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Read.
Second podcast about that.
You have to keep reading. And I now, thank goodness we have the Audibles. I literally read a book. I do puzzles all the time, which is also accelerating your brain thinking. And definitely inspiration biographies. I'm a biography fanatic. I love everything about anybody in the past because it tells me what not to do for the future.
Yeah, they paid the dummy tax. And I love to learn from people who have paid the highest tax in America, which is one in which cost me everything I had as I went bankrupt and lost over $100 million. I paid an extraordinary amount of dummy tax. And my wife and my mom, they made sure that I didn't do it again. And I don't complain about California taxes, by the way, once you pay the dummy tax. Through the evolution since COVID, there's been a lot of opportunities. And you seem to be able to pick the areas of data that are most crucial. I call them critical business issues in CPG products, in the commodity space that has multivariables that never before could be tracked or even quantified. And you've created this amazing database that is accessible now through technology as well, almost like your own market. And that data continually has more and more value as you expand the data and the accuracy of the data. More and more companies need it and then rely on it and then will be addicted to it. What are some of the critical business issues that you saw when you first were prioritizing the types of data that you were going to collect and make accessible to the people that were trading?
Well, the first thing I remember thinking was Silicon Valley has a lot of noise on technology, whether it's blockchain, whether it's AgTech, whether it's FinTech, whatever that is, there was a lot of noise in the world. And it comes out of there and expands all over the world. And then I remember a second recommendation I got from Mr. Phil Roman, who's the animator of all the Snoopies and Garfields. I remember him telling me, do you like the horses wear these things blinders. that they don't let you see to the side? Focus on that one product. So data and how we collect data, and I follow now heavily the Rolex story, has to be perfect. So perfect that when we forecast, you cannot miss because it's so perfect. So data, we have been asked, why don't you buy and sell? Why don't you trade? Why don't you? No, we're going to do what we do best, which is data provider to the world. Because the idea is the specialty crops, but we've already been asked to do the other commodities because they see the value on how we collect data and maintain data from all over the world, 185 countries.
One of the interesting aspects as I analyze a lot of business is I look for entrepreneurs that understand their relationship to circumstance. And there's multivariables involved in the analysis of circumstance. But when you're looking at perishables that are determinative upon weather, this is a very difficult thing to be perspective on. In fact,
a life shelf, correct.
And Martha, what you've been able to do to create certainty within the uncertain, to be able to utilize the relationship of uncertainty or circumstance in order to effectuate a dependable market, this has exponential value. Was there something you learned along the way that helped with this extraordinary relationship of being able to create certainty where most people fail with uncertainty or circumstance?
I look back and I would say that as long as we and anybody who starts a company does not lose the soul of what you started with. We're in here because of the farmer. I'm here because of the farmer. Every decision that any big buyer makes of a $2-4 billion purchasing comes down to the floor and impacts farmers. So if they don't do it right, which younger people have less ability to understand what goes on the floor, or meaning on the farms, will impact our farmers. And we're losing farmers and we're losing national resources. So when you have a buyer that now buys different because they understand how the avocado crop cycles happen or how the strawberry happens, then you have the ability to keep that farmer in the farm. So we always say we are here for the farmer, though we're selling to the big guys, but they are impacting our farmers.
There's another relationship, and I'm going to bring my co-host on for a second. Oh, he's stuck on here. Albert Einstein's over here shaking his head. I study time and relativity, and relativity is the meaning that I give things. And you and I know, share the positive perspective. We live in gratitude, which provides that great meaning to our past, the failures, setbacks, mistakes, defining moments, historical relevances that are involved in both of our success. But I'm really curious about your relationship to time because you do so much. You know, you seem like the kind of person at the end of the week go, ooh, that was a long month this week. And the amount that you have been able to produce, how accessible you are to the farmers and the brands and the corporations. And beyond that, how you still remain so positive to find the light, the love, and the lessons when sometimes there's no evidence, or even at sometimes the evidence is contrary to where you think you want to be. What is your relationship to time to be so productive, accessible, and gracious?
Definitely thinking that you're going to give back something to the world allows you to manage time better, because then you realize what is more important on my time. I'll give you an example. I'm on my way to Mexico to do a presentation to the berry farmers, the Association of Berry Farmers. There are like many of them. And the message is, how do we train them to understand that how the brain works with data? And how they're, so the fact that I'm taking my time to go there, yes, I'll do some other businesses, but the fact that I'm trying to make sure that I'm part of this whole ecosystem of teaching, passing on my knowledge to human beings so they can make better, I think that comes back 10 times more to you.
And I originally started out as a girl dad, and then my son hates this term, but my baby miracle came. So I have a son who's younger, but I have three daughters who are very entrepreneurial. And with my wife, who's a great entrepreneur as well, I started something called Meltzer Funding in order to fund women and women of color. Because for me, the most upsetting thing about entrepreneurship in America is this is the land of opportunity and freedom. Anybody has an opportunity, but we're not funding the appropriate people. Mm-hmm. Less than 3% of the people who get capital are women and women of color. And if you take away Stanford, no offense, Stanford, it's probably less.
Or Harvard, or Princeton, yeah, or Cambridge.
Stanford, because mainly remember, on the tech side, right?
We're selling a financial tool, so none of us are from these universities, economists.
Right, and I know there has obviously been unintentional bias at the very least, and challenges. When you go down to Mexico to speak, how many women of leadership will be there, and how and what can we tell these young women today so that they can give themselves a greater opportunity to be capitalized, so they don't have to take as much struggle as you have in order to capitalize this extraordinary business?
When I came to this country, I thought that I was walking out of a country that had that issue. And I actually found out that the United States has more of that issue. Mm-hmm. Mexico welcomes women very easy. And now with the law that they have passed, where 50%, and 50% had to be in the law and all, I found out that we women, after we get certain level, we get shut down. They allow us to go to certain point.
Glass
but once,
ceiling.
Yeah. And then once you become a leader, you're too obnoxious, or maybe I don't think that you know what you're doing. I don't play the golf.
Right.
I don't go to drinking and right, things of that nature. So I always look at this.
But you can kick their ass in tennis, I bet.
I was going to say that I had that issue in Newport Beach one time. I got into the elevator in this one famous club, and the gentleman walked out, literally. And then I started playing tennis with the teacher, and then all of a sudden I had more guys wanting to play tennis with me.
Yeah,
okay?
you're like my wife.
Exactly.
It's hard for me to play and get beat all the time.
Oh, here you go. So I always say that I started this 30 love. This is how I started here, mm-hmm, on this journey. 30 yeah, love. Everything I've started is 30 love, and I just have to play harder, stick more, train more, have more positive energy, and thank God every day that thank God I'm here.
And we absolutely thank God that you're here, as well as an icon, as an illustration that Charles Schulz himself with the Peanuts characters would have loved to portray: the courage, the persistence, the consistency, and the desire that you must be what you can be. You will feed the world, and I'm blessed to hopefully be a small part of that. And like I said, I think everyone here knows why Martha Montoya is my favorite entrepreneur. If you want to support Martha and her company, Ag Tools, where can they find you?
Martha at ag.tools, M-A-R-T-H-A at ag.tools, not .com. People confused.
I would go anywhere and do anything with Martha as an entrepreneur, but I'm not going to play her in tennis. My ego cannot take that. She has the playbook to success on and off the court, even in the fields, even with the weather. She is a master of circumstance and an incredible entrepreneur. Martha, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Amazing. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.